And it's a pleasure to head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline, where we get to say hello to a longtime friend of the program, and better yet, a longtime friend and Farragut football coach, Eddie Courtney. Coach, how are you?
John, I'm doing fine. I tell you what, yesterday's the first day it felt like football to me, because it was our second day in full pads. And, you know, our guys have worked real hard to get to this point and try and take care of each other. But today's going to be another better day, because we've got about an 80-play scrimmage inter-squad game going today to kind of see where we're really at. So I'm excited about it. Our kids are excited about it. We're just trying to take care of everybody so we can keep moving forward.
Well, I was about to say, it's got to be so exciting for the team to have had to play the waiting game until things changed in terms of what was the order from Nashville, and then, of course, what was recently approved by the county. So how enjoyable has it been for your players to finally get back out on the field and play football?
Well, it's been 9 months since they've had pads on up until Tuesday, so they were excited about that a lot. And you're right, I told them after about 3 weeks, it's back and forth. When are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? When, if we're going to do it? I said, guys, don't worry about it. Let's just get ready to play, so whenever they tell us, we'll be ready to go. And so they've handled it real well. They've done all the things we've asked to do to take care of themselves and each other, and they've worked hard to practice, and so they're excited about this afternoon to kind of see where we're at as a team.
Eddie, have you been pleased with the way your players have responded to being responsible during our COVID-19 situation?
Oh, gosh, yes. You know, we told them the seriousness of it for me, for the rest of the coaches, and for them. If we got to take care of each other, that's the most important thing. So they got to be honest with them, honest with us. And so we test the temperature every day. And if there's a day they don't feel like it, or if they have a family member or a friend come down and tested positive, we didn't know immediately. And they have done that in two cases when it was not them but somebody else. So we've taken care of them, make sure. So they've handled it great. I cannot say enough about the way they've handled it.
Obviously, if you have a pre-existing condition, you could be at more danger. And I wonder how comfortable you feel and perhaps other members of your staff feel coaching in this situation.
Well, Jimmy, John, I've really tried to take care of myself, too. I mean, because I realize the importance of that for all of us. I really haven't. So I've kind of kept my distance. There's certain times during practice I don't jump up in there like I normally do, even though I know I'm okay. We've tested her. But, again, I'm making sure I don't – you know, we didn't go anywhere on vacation this summer. I felt like, you know, best for to take care of myself. And then it was kind of being here and home and just a few other places, and that's it. And so I'm just ready to get back to football, you know, and just get normal life.
You mentioned that how it finally felt like football because you were practicing in pads. What was the reaction of your players?
Well, you know, we went from, first of all, just jerseys and shorts most of the summer, and we were in small groups, 9 players and 1 coach, and just rotating around different places all over the field, and one station in a weight room, and then finally we got helmets and shoulder pads the other day, and then they felt a little bit more about, hey, seriously, we're going to get to play now. And then 2 days ago, we put full pads on through our protocol to do that. And they've handled that well. And day three, and they've been kind of every day coming in here ready to play. You know, biggest thing for them, guys, is, you know, they got to carry their pads to them to practice, take them home every night. We're not allowed to get in the weight room, in the field house yet, or the locker room. So we issued all that stuff outside. They still carry their water bottles with them. They still keep their masks with them. And then, you know, they know about how we have to go through certain things in practice and take care and keep distance as much as we can. But today it's going to be 11 on 11, and we just got to get quick whistles and do the things. And coaches got to keep their distance and all that. But really want to see where we're at today.
Coach, you touched on this a little bit with Jimmy earlier, but what has it been like just to see this year unfold the way it has, with not being able to go through spring practice and not go through the normal routine, whether it be attending camps or things like that for players that are about to get their perhaps biggest opportunity as a Farragut Admiral? What has this year been like in just managing what was the end of a senior year for some that didn't look anything like any senior year prior to?
Oh, yeah. Well, number one, we've tried to be honest with them from day one. We're spacing through this, because you got to remember, we got out on a Friday for spring break, and the next thing we know, we're not coming back to school, and didn't come back to school until, you know, in July, as far as most of it. But for them, they've handled it well. You know, for me, I've looked at it, listen, we got to control what we control and just move on. But, you know, I've looked at it as a challenge in life. It's a challenge for these kids to grow. You know, football is always a game of adversity. It's a game of, you know, trying to do the best you can, be there every day, and work yourself through things. And so I think it's taught us even more lessons about this great game of football. And, you know, yes, with seniors, we've tried to reach out to, you know, most of those colleges that come through here during spring and make sure they got the contact information of those players that, because they couldn't come here this spring. We didn't have spring practice, which is another thing, you know. Spring practice is really great about building your team and giving kids a chance maybe to look at another position a year before you couldn't play them at, to see how they've grown up, get faster or whatever. So we're trying to do that right now. So they've handled all this pretty good. The camp, not being able to go to camps and really show what they can do, or go to camps to try to get better on the skills. So it has been a back and forth, and then the thing, you have to go in the weight room, wear a mask, you know, and then you have to carry your water bottle with you, and then you got to carry your gear back and forth from home. So it's kind of like the old days of football, I guess, when you look at it. But it's been a challenge. But I think we try to be very transparent. We've not tried to hide anything. We've tried to be honest about it and try to really just look out after each other and get ready to play. You know, they feel like we're going to play here two weeks from tonight. So, you know, that's what we're hoping for.
Well, here's hoping everything stays on course to do exactly that for everybody in Knoxville and East Tennessee. Coach, what will you miss most from last year's team, and what will be most difficult to replace from the 2019 Admirals?
Well, you know, it's always offensive line, you know, building on that. We feel like, you know, that's kind of hurt us because we didn't get a chance to spring ball. Those guys, you got to find out, you know, which ones can do it in the trenches. So we're still really concerned about that. We feel good about our defensive line and our linebackers, secondary. Could be pretty good in the receiver core as well. And we've got several backs. That's the key. We want to come out of spring with some kind of, you know, where we, you know, who the stars, who their players, so forth. But we hadn't had that yet. So today we'll get some answers on that. Quarterback city, we lost Gavin Wilson. And so he's a very special thrower. But, you know, we feel like Dawson Moore will be able to step in there and do that. But special teams ought to be well. I mean, you know, those guys are coming back from last year and did well. But it's just a matter of molding your team together. And that's my biggest concern is, you really can't start molding until you get out here on the practice field every day, really seeing who they can count on each other and just kind of how that goes. And so that's the biggest concern. I think conditioning is another big concern right now. We're trying hard, you know, to stay within heat acclimation. Same time in 3 weeks with pads, trying to get ready to play. But so is everybody else. I mean, you know, it's no advantage for anybody else. It's just the way it is.
You mentioned not having in spring ball, and Eddie, I wonder if you noticed that your team might have been a little bit behind with its execution, in part because you didn't have the benefit of spring ball.
Oh, certainly. I mean, because like, with that, with no spring ball, with no 7-on-7, with not a lot of that stuff, yeah, a lot of things you can work on in football-related skills and kind of see where you're at. Guys, you know, I don't know how many years ago, but several years ago back, Knox County Schools decided not to have spring practice. And we did that four years. And that's where I learned, man, what the disadvantage of not having spring practice when you have other people who have it, because they've answered a lot of those questions going into game one. I remember after that first game, we made 7 personnel changes, really did. I mean, you can scrimmage and get good scrimmages, but guys, until you get the lights on and the crowd there and really see who can respond and, you know, who's going to, it's a big change. It really is. So, I guess everybody else found that out now because no one's had spring practice that I know of.
Did you find that your players were behind with their strength and conditioning, or do you think they did a pretty good job in
those two regards? I'm sorry, Jimmy. Yeah, they did. And, you know, what we did, we had early on, we had a drive-by where they came by one morning. We were allowed to do that, hand them a booklet, told them places they could try to find a workout in small groups, gave them a big packet of conditioning things to do, and we did that. And then we stayed in touch with Zoom, had Zoom meetings, stuff like that. And they did. They came back in kind of where we were hoping to be. But yes, when you look at their numbers where they were before, we tested them before we went to spring break. We certainly have been a lot further along, but I can't say enough. They have done the right things to try to get ready conditioning-wise in the weight room. And but we'll have to see. I mean, when it comes down to it, we really have to see when we get ready 2-3 weeks from now and we're playing. Really, I think more kids are going to have to play now those first couple of games, you know, just because of those factors.
What has it been like to just compare notes with other head coaches? I mean, as long as you've been doing this, as long as you've been the head coach in Farragut, what's it been like to hear what other coaches have been doing with their teams during this very unique time?
It's been great. It really has. You know, I guess me being one of the older, Gary Rankin, myself, some others being it longer than anybody else. A lot of these younger coaches, I've always told them, I said, call me. I might not have the right answer, but I made enough mistakes with the early coach, so I'll try to help you through this. But we had a lot of good, positive conversations, things that about what do we do if we have to wear the shield. This was a discussion 3 weeks ago. Do we have to wear the plastic shields? If we do that, we got to go out and buy $1,000 worth of shields. Then they were told we were told a week later we don't have to have the shields. So it's been stuff like that back and forth. Or practice, exactly how your practice schedule. What are you doing, coach? Because, you know, we're having trouble getting this, that. And so it's been very positive. The guys have really tried to help each other. I don't think anybody's tried to hide anything. We're all just trying to get this game of football back and try to do it the right way. But it has been fun talking to Derek Hunt and a bunch of other guys, just things about how we're going to get this thing going.
It was almost a month ago that we got to go through one of, I think, the neatest events that takes place each year, and that is the Knoxville Football Officials Association, the Media Day, out at Three Ridges. You brought along players Trey Nesbitt and Eli Purcell. Tell us a little bit about who you picked to represent the Admirals that day.
Well, we felt like that's two kids who earned that leadership role, really has. You know, Eli's had a great season, a great year last year as a junior. He ended up playing some running back as well as linebacker. And then Trey's a guy that just was on the basketball team 2 years ago, never played football, and he's put on about 20 pounds there in the weight room and stuff. So he is really explosive player playing the defensive line. But I think those guys represent what we're about here, about trying to do things right way and do it with class and at the same time work hard to get better every year. Both those guys are being recruited. Eli's already got 7 or 8 offers now. Trey is just starting. In fact, yesterday I got another call from another coach. And I'm hearing this, guys, from a lot of the coaches in college, and this is a little different than it's ever been in the past. They're really going to be looking at games 1, 2, and 3 of your season because they got to get a good evaluation. They weren't able to get kids in camp this summer to see how they progressed. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time they're going to put a lot of stock on your first couple of games to really see where you're at. And so I think that's – Trey had a great year as a junior. Nobody knew about him last year because he's a basketball player, which I'm great. I want my athletes playing. And so – but now people seeing him, seeing how he's shot up there in size and what he's doing. So, and I think that the thing is this recruiting thing is it's been difficult for all those college coaches, but it's really been difficult for the high school coaches too. Just try to make sure your kids are getting the notice and getting the attention they need to get.
Eddie, in my opinion, high school football in this area is much better now than it was 15 to 20 years ago. And if you agree with that, why do you think that is?
Well, I think because you've got guys who, young coaches that's come in and stayed, not just up and jump and go places every 2 or 3 years. You know, guys have tried to build a program, maintain the program, find the best fit for them as a coach where they feel like they could be productive. And I think that's one thing. I think the other thing is, you know, to the high school kid, it's still important to play football. I mean, you know, we're very lucky. We work hard here, but we got 40 freshmen out. And we have 83 varsity kids. So, and again, it's something we work on, just not only playing and putting the pads on, it's also trying to help these guys develop in better men. So I think that's something. I think they really believe that. They show they do that. Now, they make mistakes, too, like we all do sometimes. But, you know, we're going to discipline, get on them. And I think they realize that we care about them. And so I think that's the key to getting kids, Jace, is to really get – some adult man to be some kind of role model and kind of help them through life right now, because it's tough, man. They live off the cell phone, and I'm old school. I can't deal. I tell them all the time, heads up, eyes up, look at me. You know, and that's hard to get kids today to do that.
Well, Eddie, I was wondering if the success of Farragut, of Alcoa, of Maryville, of Central, Oak Ridge. I wonder if the success of other programs has also elevated it to where maybe there's a little peer pressure. Hey, you see what these other schools are doing, and we got to get after it, or we're going to get left behind.
It certainly is. You know, the attention. You know, the good things, you know, we got radio coverage. Almost every school has somebody broadcasting their game. We've got streaming games now. We've got television games now on Thursdays and Saturday nights. And you got all that going on. You got passing leagues during the summer. And you got all these things, which are good. They're positive things to help these kids, you know, feel like all the time they put into it, you know, it's worth it. We even have some big man competition during the summer normally where the linemen get together and compete against other schools. So I think that helps them understand the importance of the game itself, but also being a teammate to their team, being competitive.
Coach, how is your team in regards to football health?
I think we're okay. You know, we only got one kid we're holding back right now. That's one thing about normally when we go through spring ball, if they've got any surgery, we don't let them go through spring at all until we get, because we feel like that's important. But right now we only have one that's rehabbing right now, and everybody else is healthy, so that's a good thing.
And what's at the top of your to-do list with 2 weeks to the season opener? What do you want to see your team improve most upon?
I just want to see them come together, really trust and believe each other, and get in shape and have fun playing football.
Coach, we really appreciate the time. Thank you so much for giving us the lowdown on your squad. Wish you and the Admirals the very best of luck. Hope you, your staff, your family, everybody stays healthy and things can stay on track. But good luck to Farragut this year.
John, Jimmy, we appreciate it. Really do. I mean, y'all really support high school football as everything else you cover. But it's always been a positive thing with me when I've dealt with y'all. So I thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Eddie.
That's Farragut football coach Eddie Courtney. Joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.